This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
He was great at giving me that outlet and just saying it's okay. You've got to deal with those feelings or else they're just going to eat you alive.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 44 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me on the podcast today. This gentleman hails from the state of Illinois. He's a husband, a father, and these are his words. He's vertically challenged and he's technically heavy. Please help me welcome 7-year vet, Mr. Justin Lee. Justin, what's going on, man?
Morning. How's it going, Anthony?
I'm doing awesome, man. I appreciate you hopping on the podcast with me. And for all of you that listen to the podcast on a regular basis, you guys know what my first question is. And Justin, that's simply, why law enforcement, man?
Well, I guess it started as a kid watching, cop movies and cop shows, cops on, TV, Lethal Weapon, Die Hard. Those always piqued my interest. And then it, became a little more real when I got into college. Had a few situations, won't go too far into it, but with my own family and domestic violence, and had the police come to our house. I was in college at the time, but I had some younger siblings that were going through that, and I saw how it was handled and always thought, not that I didn't respect what the officers had to do at that time, but wished that they would have done more to help out my little brother, little sister, kind of understand the situation a little more. And so that kind of set me on that path of wanting to be that person for kids in the future, that, when they're going through that rough time, that officer is somebody there that can help them through it and not just take mommy or daddy away.
Again, I say this all the time, but I love asking that question because we all have a story behind why we're doing what we do. And, That's just another variation of one of the many stories that gets told when I ask that question. Any other family members in law enforcement?
Not in my family directly. On my wife's side, I've got a brother-in-law that's a state trooper. Her uncle is a state trooper. And then my brother-in-law also is a state's attorney.
Okay. Was the profession what you thought it would be once you got into it?
No, I've seen a couple different sides of it. I started at I call it a bigger department based on where I'm at now. It's much bigger, but a town of like 25,000 people. I had lived there as a kid. And once I got into it, it was way more intense than I ever knew it would be. I'd done tons of ride-alongs and everything. And so I was told, it's 95% awesome, or 5% like all the fun stuff and then 95% paperwork. I heard that, but I didn't, pay any attention to it. And then when I started getting down my first like 10 reports, I was like, holy cow, this is way more intense than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun career, man. It's hard to really explain to people what we do every day because, TV and all of that has kind of distorted what we do on a day-to-day basis. And most people have no idea that, 90% of the job is just riding around and paperwork, but when that other 5-10% comes, it could be pure hell sometimes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're married, correct?
Yes, sir.
And were you married when you got into the profession?
Yeah.
What did your wife think about it once you told her you were heading into law enforcement?
Yeah. So when we got married, I was pursuing criminal justice and trying to get in. I got married at 21. So I was kind of right at the entry level age to get into law enforcement anyway. And then I was trying to get on like a volunteer service, basically up over in Waterloo, Iowa, ended up hurting my back. And so that kind of put me on I don't know if I want to do this anymore. It's something, I need to be full strength for. So I kind of backed off, followed a sales route for a little while. And then I had my first kid and I was going to work every day, hating it, just not doing what I wanted to be doing. It wasn't my passion. And told my wife, I was like, I need to go pursue what I want to do. And I mean, it'd been on the back of my mind for years. It's what I always wanted to do. And she's like, yeah, go for it. And she was very supportive. She knew, you know, the hardships that come along with it. We knew that going into it. And I think that helped us, you know, both understand, you know, it is tough on marriages. It's tough on, you know, being a dad to our kids and everything. But we were both understanding of that. And it you know, it helped bring us closer throughout it.
Yeah, it's nice when you have that support, because this job will take a toll on you, your family, your marriage, and everything else if you allow it. What kind of sales were you in?
First, I was working at Dick's Sporting Goods. I was selling shoes and bikes and just about anything else they wanted me to sell. And then from there, I went into phone sales and was selling, you know, iPhones and Galaxy phones.
Yeah, I can see where that can be a little monotonous, and you know, you're looking for something a little bit more. You know, that's for sure. If one of your kids came to you one day and said, "Dad, I want to go into law enforcement," what would you tell them?
You know, it's something where I know the parts of the job that I love, and I see the parts that are hard, and there's the things that we see that I wouldn't want my kids to ever have to see. You know, there's that ignorance is bliss thing, you know, that yeah, I can't ever see the world the same way I used to. And so in some ways I'd be like, no, don't do that. And in other ways I'd be like, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so much reward to it. You know, there's bonds that you build with your brothers and sisters that, you know, are second to none. But I guess we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there.
I hear you, man. Has the job changed you in any way since you've been in it in these 7 years?
Yeah. I mean, if anybody said it didn't, I don't know, you know, I'd be interested to see how, but you know, I came from a small community, you know, grew up in a church family and everything, and didn't see a lot of bad until, you know, I got older. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into policing, I mean, you just see a different side of society that a lot of people just aren't really aware of. A lot of the darkness that gets hidden from people and that's natural. You want to keep those parts of your life from people, but you know, on the people's worst days, that's when the cops come. And Unfortunately, you gotta bear some of that burden with people, and it can have great outcomes. Sometimes you walk away going, man, I feel like I really made a difference. And other times you're like, man, I'm going to be back there 15 more times.
Yeah. It's funny. My wife's family, they do these family Zoom calls once a month. And the last call they did was on policing. I forget. It was one of the major incidents that happened, and they wanted to talk about it. And of course, I was the one to lead the conversation. Mm. And I told them that same thing. There's a segment of society that you guys have never seen and hopefully will never have to see or deal mm-hmm. with. And I said, that's what we deal with day after mm-hmm. day. You know, we've shielded, you know, you kids and your parents shield the adults from it when you were kids. And until you are in this arena and you go out and you see that side of society, you're like, wow. I mean, it can be an eye opener mm-hmm. because you're like, how do people live like this? You know, and mm-hmm. and it's a lot goes into it. Lack of education, lack of economics and all of that stuff. But nonetheless, it is what it is, right. And you still have to deal with it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and jump into the first segment. This is what I call Dig Deeper.
Hey, before we get to the next segment, I want to ask you a question. Are you aware that most officers are unknowingly causing collateral damage to not only their mental health, but also their personal relationships? Well, I've put together a 90-day mastermind that will help these officers identify and apprehend the number one suspect that is causing this damage, resulting in a clearer, more focused mind while working, stronger personal relationships with the people that are important to them, and more peace at home. And I'm doing this using my simple three-step process that I call Document, Discuss, and Deploy. If you want more details, simply go to theoffdutypodcast.com/mastermind. That's theoffdutypodcast.com/mastermind. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
This is what I call Dig Deeper. For those of you that don't know, Dig Deeper is where I get nosy and I go digging around my guest's social media and I pull out several posts and I craft questions around those posts. And just in the first post of yours I came across, it was an Instagram post. It was a picture of you in your patrol car. And the caption read, "That look when you got 3 weeks off for vacation." You recall that post?
Yeah, I recall that one. I'm still on that vacation.
Nice, nice. And my first question is, how's it going, vacation?
It's going good. I just needed a time to just basically do nothing. I didn't go anywhere. Didn't really plan any trips. It was just to be home, spend time with family, you know, get those projects done that you can't usually get done. I got a new pup at home, so I'm training him. That's been fun and frustrating.
What kind of puppy?
I got a German Shepherd.
Okay. When you do want to get away from the job, you know, outside of the family, what other stuff do you enjoy doing?
I like being outdoors. We live near the Mississippi River, so there's a lot of hiking trails and stuff like that we can do at the state park. Just go out and be in nature is a big one. And then times that it's warm anyway. And then when the snow comes and we're snowed in, then you know, I just do what we can with the kids and in the house, play games and things like that. And then the gym's where I usually go to clear my head and find that peace.
How many kids you have?
Three total.
Age range?
I got 8 and then a 4 and a 2-year-old.
Oh, you got the little ones. Enjoy them. Yeah. Enjoy them while they're that age because they grow up quick. I got 2 girls now and they're both grown and time really flies. So enjoy every moment you can with them. What was your most memorable vacation as a kid?
And that's a good question. I guess it would have been like high school age. We went out to Colorado. We drove out there as a family and, you know, taking a family trip back then was a lot different than like when my kids take a long family trip, but you know, we're piled in the minivan, me and my brother and sister and, my little 9-inch TV that we had a VCR to hook up to and we could watch movies on there. But, no, that was probably it. We had a lot of laughs and, probably a lot of fights too, but it was a good time.
Yeah, man. Times have changed, haven't they? Yeah, the way we used to vacation and the way we take our kids on vacation are 2 totally different things, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to ask you about another post, and this was a picture looking at your profile, and you've already talked about this a couple of times. It's clear that you enjoy dogs, and this reminded me of that old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And my question for you is, what was the last new thing that you've learned?
Oh, I guess the biggest thing, I went to an actual certified first responder class. We learned the basics in the academy and everything. And then just on the job, I mean, we go to a lot of medical calls, but I actually got to go through a 8-week training course on first responder. So it's probably that.
Okay. Anything outside of work?
Training dogs. I mean, it's something I've done growing up. In like high school, I trained some bird dogs. This has been my first time training a dog that has been completely my own and trying to, you know, intertwine him with a family dog, but also would like to work with him on some like civilian trials and stuff like that with like detection and tracking.
Yeah, you think if you weren't in law enforcement, dog training is something that you could possibly make a career out of?
Yeah, probably. It's a good possibility. I'd be doing something with dogs in some way.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw the, Westminster, I think it's called, dog show the other day on TV. I was just flipping channels and it was on. It was pretty cool. I was amazed at the shit that these dogs can do. I was like, wow. Like, how the hell do you train dogs to do all of that? I'm lucky if I can get my damn dog to come to me when I call him.
Yeah. And that's why I planned my vacation around him, getting him home, because I wanted to be able to spend time with him and make sure when I went back to work, he wasn't driving my wife and kids nuts.
How old is he?
He's coming up on 11 weeks old now.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He's a brand new puppy there. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah, my, My daughter has a pit bull, and I was the straight up anti pit bull guy, but they got him when he was like, actually when he was first born, he was part of a litter, and they end up taking him, and the family that had the other dogs, they end up selling them all. But man, I love that dog. He's two now, and he's a big, just a big old puppy. Totally changed my perspective of pit bulls. You know, it's just a big baby. We got to watch him for a couple of days while they were out of town. And man, I thoroughly enjoyed him, just playing with him and everything. You know, like I say, he's 2 years old and he's just one big muscle. My dog is a Havanese. He's a little lap dog. And he's 16 years old. He's half blind, half deaf. Oh, wow. So the two of them trying to interact, it was funny because, you know, the pit, all he wants to do is play. My dog, all he wants to do is sleep. So it was an interesting couple of days.
Yeah, I get that. We got a 12-year-old German short-haired pointer, and he wants nothing to do with the pup, so I get that.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that happens. It's just like, you know, hey, all I want to do is just sleep and eat. Leave me alone. I want to ask you about another post here, and this was a picture of you and your wife, and the caption read, "You're the reason I can get through a day without losing my mind. The reason our kids aren't little menaces to society. You're the best. Love you, babe." You recall that post?
Yeah. Yep. That was recent. I like that one.
Yeah. My first question around that post is, what's the one thing you do that drives your wife crazy?
That's easy. I lose stuff all the time. Wallet, keys, the hat on my head. I mean, every time I can't find something, hey, where is that? I mean, she knows, and it drives her nuts.
For my wife is leaving the toilet seat up. That seems to get under her skin sometimes. Another question about that pose. What's the most romantic thing you've ever done for her?
I'd say my proposal was pretty good. That's definitely the most romantic. Caught her completely off guard with it, so I thought I did pretty good in that.
All right, you got to tell a story now.
All right. So, like I said, we were young. I would have been 20 at the time of my proposal. So, I had been floating the idea of like rings out there, and you know, I was asking her, you know, kind of off questions, just kind of like, what do you think about this kind, like that kind, what would you like? And we went in and actually looked at them one time, and the jeweler was in on it and ended up getting her size and everything without her knowing that I was specifically going to be buying the one that she picked out that day. So I picked it out, held on to it for a couple months, was going to wait, and then it became like around December 20th. And I'm like, I can't wait anymore. I get too excited about stuff. I can't keep it in. So I'm just like, no, we're going to do this sooner. So, called her parents in. My family was there, and we took this walk through the park. It started snowing. I mean, it was like, I couldn't have planned that part better, but I mean, it was just beautiful. And then, went back to would have been my parents' house at the time and told her that my dad had this video editing that he had done, and he wanted her, you know, advice and feedback on it. Yeah. And it was something for church. And so she's like, okay. And she was ready to pick it apart. And I had made a video montage of our life, you know, together at that point. And then, you know, with some music and stuff. And at the end it said, "Will you marry me?" So then I got down and forgot everything I was going to say. And basically just like got her name out and said, "Would you marry me?"
That's awesome, man. That's so different from my proposal, because I had just started the academy. Yeah. And I proposed the first night of the academy. So I get home that day, and my wife comes over to my apartment. I proposed to her, and I literally had to leave the house right after that because I had to go study, because we had a shitload of homework from the academy. So there was nothing romantic about it other than me getting down and asking her. That's cool, man. And that's cool. You guys still going at it. That's awesome. Where, how'd you guys meet, if you'll mind me asking?
So we actually go back to, like, we met in kindergarten originally, and then I'd moved away in, like, junior high years. And then in high school, I went back to visit my hometown and with some other friends, and we just got reacquainted then. And I was like, I kind of like that girl, and started doing kind of a long distance relationship in high school, and then ended up following her down to college, and then came back up to Iowa, and she followed me back up here. And I was like, I think we're ready to just move on from here if we keep following each other across the country.
So. That's awesome, man. Yeah, enjoy it. We've been married now for 28 years, and, you know, it's a roller coaster sometimes, but I couldn't see myself with anybody else. I want to ask you about another post here. This is the last post. And this was a picture of you holding a bottle of CBD Ops. And it was a long caption of you talking about the game changer the product has been for you. And I'm not going to read the whole caption, but there was certain parts of it that I picked out. And those parts were, so I made the leap with the guarantee of the THC product from a third party lab. I bought my first bottle. Within a week, I saw a huge change. I was sleeping much better and my anxiety was next to none. And my question to you is, first of all, congrats on trying. I use it also, and I had the exact same experience. I have terrible knees from the job and everything else. And I was to the point where I was looking at knee replacement surgery, and my wife just out of a last resort, she ordered, it wasn't CBD Ops, it was another brand. And she said, just try it and see what happens. Because at that point, I was getting cortisone shots every 6 months. And the first time I did it, it lasted about a year. Then after that, it was like maybe getting 3 months out of it. So I tried the CBD, and I kid you not, man, I have not had another cortisone shot in 2 years. The knee resurgery is off the table right now. And my knees aren't 100%, but they are much better. And then I actually had Chris Liberty, who's the CEO and the founder of CBD Ops. I actually had him on the podcast, and I got a chance to try his product. And that was one of the benefits that I definitely noticed with his, was it helped me sleep better. And that's, so I definitely take my hats off to you for, you know, for trying it. Was it just something that you just read about? How did you become aware of CBD?
I think the first thing I saw was, it was about CBD Ops. It was probably from Mike the Cop. I saw his post on it or something. And that was, he was still in law enforcement at the time. I know he's gotten out since then, but that was what first kind of turned me on to it, I guess. And then from there, and I didn't really pay a lot of attention at first until basically 2020 happened, and anxiety and everything else for, like, a lot of people kind of kicked in, and needed to try something out to kind of work with some of that.
Was that anxiety from the job?
Yeah. I mean, some was that. Okay. It was going through a lot of internal stuff with the department at that time, just new leadership and things like that. So working through those trials and tribulations, and just, you know, I'd been on for, you know, 6-7 years at that point. So, you know, there's things catching up to me that I needed to, you know, take care of. And
how are you taking care of yourself now besides the CBD mentally?
3-week vacation helps.
That never hurts.
That's been a big help. I mean, just being able to shut it off completely. I mean, because even when you take a couple of days off, like, our department, we're small. I mean, we can get called in at the drop of a hat. So even on your days off, I mean, you don't fully relax. I mean, there's always that chance you're going to get called in or forced in on one of your days off. So, you know, there's always that. Plus, I work part-time for two other departments. So a lot of my days off, at least one or two of them, I'm working another job in police work. So it's, it's definitely a good getaway when you can just shut down completely and not think about it.
Yeah, you have to do that. I had I don't know if you're familiar with Nate Sylvester, but he's the guy that got fired after making the TikTok video about LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
I had him on the show and he made a comment that has stuck with me. And that was, you know, the job, as good as it is, it takes a lot from you and it gives you very little in return. You know, and that's such a true statement. So to be able to recognize that you needed that break, which is something a lot of us don't do because, you know, the job becomes who we are and you can't separate yourself sometimes. So kudos to you for realizing it's time to shut it down for a while because you need that break. I want to go on to the second segment here. And this is what I call random seven.
Right.
And what these are just seven totally off the wall random questions that are electronically generated. All right. So try to answer them the All best right. you can. All right.
All right. Let's do it.
The first question, if you were in an elevator with your hero, you have 90 seconds to tell them about yourself. What do you say?
Oh, man. If I'm sitting there with my hero in an elevator, I'm probably asking them a question. Wanting to know more about them. I don't want to talk.
Who's your hero?
Oh, man.
Or who do you look up to or admire?
On the spot. I mean, I guess go back to a kid. I mean, I think everybody looked up to like a sports hero. So, I mean, mine would have had to have been Michael Jordan. I mean, huge Bulls fan as a kid.
Not a bad role model to look up to. You know, he had his moments, but...
Oh, yeah.
On the court, you can't deny it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Next question. If you could look into a crystal ball and see one thing about your future, what would you want to know?
Oh, man. Not when I die, because I don't want to know that. I guess I'd want to know if my kid, if you know, if I did a good job with my kids. They grew up to
be that'd be successful. Something that you definitely want to that's not a bad answer. That's something I think I would like to know also. Next question. If you could get a ticket to any show or event, what would you want a ticket to?
Man, I'm a big Iowa Hawkeye fan, so if they could ever make it to the national championship, I would love to go to that.
Yeah. Yeah, how's their team doing? I haven't been following them. I haven't really followed any college football lately.
I mean, we're usually a good, solid top 25 team, but we're never in that elite tier like Alabama, Ohio State. We can never seem to get it together long enough to get there.
Yeah, they're just in another league. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, they're just on a totally another planet. How a team can be that good year after year after year after year is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they shouldn't even be allowed to play some of the schools that they play.
I would agree.
Next question. Have you ever gotten anything autographed? If so, by who and what was it?
There's a baseball floating around back here somewhere.
And I think it's right behind you there.
Yeah, I would have been like 8 years old. I went to a Cardinals game in St. Louis and got it autographed by a pitcher that I couldn't even tell you the name of.
Yeah. Well, hold on to it. Yeah. Is he still in the league?
No. How
old were you?
I would have been like 8 years old, tops.
All right. I thought you said it was something recent. Okay. Next question. Would you rather have a snowball fight or a water balloon fight? I told you these were just random ass questions.
Water balloons, because that means it's warm out and I spend way too much time out in the snow being up here in Illinois. So
I hear that. I'm in Michigan, so I can definitely relate.
Oh, yeah.
Two more questions here. What's the number one thing at the top of your bucket list?
I like the idea of traveling. I don't like flying. So I have to get over that, but I'd love to go to like Australia. I mean, the just stuff and pictures I've seen and, you know, that I just want to go experience.
Where's the most exotic place you guys have traveled to so far?
for me and my wife together would have been Mexico for our honeymoon. That's the only time I've ever even left the country.
Really? Yeah. I'm leaving. Actually, I'm leaving in a couple of weeks. Go to Aruba. This will be our second time going. Oh, nice. The first time was our 28 years ago on our honeymoon. So this first trip will be taken in 27, 26 years without the kids. So we're looking forward to it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Last question here. When was the last time you cried?
Yes, my wife should probably say like 2 days ago. I don't know. I'm not one to hide my emotions. I got big emotions and they come out, and I've tried to teach my kids that that's okay. It's part of dealing with stuff. You know, it's what you have to do sometimes, but I don't know. It was probably a couple of weeks ago. I don't even remember what it would have been about. Just something with family or something like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because that's something you don't hear most cops say about getting their emotions out. I know for me personally, something really has to be very personal for me to cry. And I think the last time I cried was last year when my cousin, who I was close to, passed away unexpectedly. It's funny to hear you say that, like I said, because that's just not something that a lot of us do. At least what, you know, in the time that I was in the job, that wasn't something you saw very often. Yeah. Was cops opening up to show that side of them anyway.
Yeah, no, I know I don't fit the mold in that way. And I think that was something that, you know, my dad, you know, one of the greatest things he did. I mean, that's what he taught me as a kid. And he's like, it's okay to feel how you feel. I mean, you have to deal with that. You know, like I said, I alluded to earlier, we went through a lot of things when I was in high school, and it was at that point where I could have gone down that road and learned to bottle things up and not dealt with them. Mm-hmm. But he was great at giving me that outlet and just saying, it's okay. You've got to deal with those feelings or else they're just going to eat you alive. And so I luckily learned that at a young age, and I've carried that with me, you know, in this profession. There's times where you don't show it in that moment, but you know, you get home and that, you know, incident stays with you. And if you don't deal with it, it's bad news.
Yeah, no doubt. Well said, man. And again, I take my hat off to you for recognizing all of that, because unfortunately, there's a lot of us in the profession that never recognize that we have these emotions or these things going on inside of us, and we never address them. And, you know, next thing you know is day after day, week after week, month after month. And next thing you know, you're at the end of your 20 years, 25 years, and you're not the same person you were when you started the job. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
I want to go to the last segment here. And this is what I call this or that. I'm going to give you two topics and you just choose one. All right. Don't have to explain why or anything. Just choose one. And they're all just random topics. All right. So the first one is pineapple pizza or candy corn?
Oh, pineapple pizza.
Dirty bathroom or dirty kitchen?
Dirty kitchen.
Pizza, round or square?
Definitely round.
Reality shows or documentaries?
Documentaries.
Smartest person in the world or richest person in the world?
Let's go smartest, because if you're the smartest, you got to know how to make money, I would assume.
Yep, I agree. Attend a party or host a party?
Attend a party for sure.
Cash or credit?
Cash.
Multiple choice or essay?
Ooh. Man, that's where it gets tough. I'm going to go with essay, because as a cop, you got to be a good storyteller.
Yeah, exactly. Arrive early or arrive late?
Early. Always early.
The last one, calling or texting?
It depends on who it is, but let's go call it.
Justin, man, listen, it's been a pleasure speaking with you and getting to know you. I appreciate you coming on and chopping it up with me. If you can do me a favor, if you can just go ahead and give out your social media so people can go over and follow you and check you out on online.
Yeah, sure. I'm on Instagram. It's at JD_87.
That's the only platform you're on?
Yeah, I keep it simple.
I hear you. There's too many of them out there to try to juggle. Any last words before we sign off here?
No, I appreciate you having me on. This has been fun. Good time, and it's been my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. Likewise. Again, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on and talk with me. Guys, you know what to do. If you want to support the podcast, whatever platform you're on, please, please, please follow us. Leave a review. That's the best way you can support us. You know, we live in the algorithm world now, so those reviews are important. And the more you leave reviews and rate us and all that stuff, the more we show up in the algorithm and the more people find the show. I appreciate you guys listening. Justin, my man, you stay safe out there. You guys all stay safe out there that's listening. And I will see you guys on the next episode. Bye-bye.